Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
That's really, really camp. It's really, really camp. That's mum dancing.
Yeah, I take that as a compliment.
Start it properly.
I like dancing with mums.
Welcome to episode 7. Yes, you're in heaven, you're not in Devon. I'm Richie Firth, and I hack travel because I am Richie Firth Travel Hacker.
Hi, Rich.
How are you, Christopher?
Yeah, I'm very well, Richie. It has been a tiring weekend for me, but I've done some travelling.
Where did you travel to?
I travelled to East Anglia, which then involved me travelling down rivers, open water swimming and canoeing.
Wow, I can swim canoe.
Yes, Rich, I can actually. Thank you for asking. It was, I will say, a little bit of prep for a possible future actual real travel hack,
which I don't think we're too far away. I reckon season 3 we'll be actually back hacking, all right? But I think East Anglia's got some great hacking possibility. The Fens, I mean, you know, fantastic. The waterways of the UK are an untapped proper use of transport. The canals of northern and midland England, and indeed the Caledonian Canal in Scotland. So much to be hacked.
You've clearly forgotten our trip up and down the Thames, haven't you, already?
No, I really have not. I really have not, because I've been considering that trip in the last 3 days, considering the news that Crossrail is now delayed to 2022 and is up into the billions now. Fill it in, turn it into a flume, use the Thames. I've not forgotten that hack.
I mean, the longer it takes, the more people will start to side with you, Rich.
Chris, this is the story of my life. I make a bold claim,
right?
Because I'm one of life's visionaries. And then people throw eggs, people decry, and then slowly they go and pick up another egg, and they suddenly, while they're bending down, they scratch their back and go, oh, he may have been right. I'm going to join in the queue behind him. And slowly, a conga begins behind the Firth. And that's what's happening.
I don't understand the structure of that sentence you just delivered, but I'm with you.
Thank you.
Eggs and congas, that you are my eggs and congas go-to guy.
Coming up on tonight's episode.
Today's.
I think if you arrive at Eureka, you'd have to say you've hit the spot, wouldn't you? Suddenly you're looking at filters, you're looking at lights, you're looking at colours. Brian, what's the best way to do them?
Do you really think in this day and age you should be saying what you said in that last clip?
Yes, and I back it up thrice. What's the best way to do them? What's the best way to do them? Do them, do them, do them, do, 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 do. Right, Christopher, let's get hacking.
Rich, our first hack today comes via the social media platform Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it is from a person, C of Gold, at C underscore of underscore gold. Dear Travel Hacker. Very
That's
formal.
Me.
I'm a massive fan of roundabouts. I like the fact that we attract these people. And now I want to make a pilgrimage to Milton Keynes to visit every roundabout. I want to do it on a bicycle and using their also famous Redway system. Please advise the best route to do this. So, Richie, maybe for our international, the listeners from America and Stockholm, maybe you want to tell them a little bit about Milton Keynes and some of these other words in there that might confuse them.
Okay, so Milton Keynes is certainly the largest and the last built of the infamous building programme that the UK government went on in the post-war period of the 50s to build some new towns, okay, to invest back in the country post-war. Towns like Crawley and Basildon and Stevenage and Harlow were suddenly upon us, and Milton Keynes was the last to be built. It's the largest of the UK new towns, and it's most famous. Probably our American listeners will actually laugh at this point, but it's most famous for being built on the grid system, which is obviously something that you'll find in a lot of big US cities. And because of that fact, it has 130 roundabouts. So all the roads in Milton Keynes built on a north, south, east, west, XY axis of grids and interlocking those, 130 roundabouts, which exceeds the roundabout number in any
other
UK
number?
Town and city. The number of roundabouts, plural roundabout.
Roundabout.
So that's a brief history of Milton Keynes.
Yes.
I believe Sea of Golds also spoke about wanting to visit the Redway. It's the Milton Keynes hybrid pedestrian / cycling pavement area. So it's originally due to be called the Pedway because it used the words pedestrianism and cycleway. Pedway together, but they went with Redway because obviously it looks good on maps. The extensive system, 300 kilometres of Redway, so
wow.
300 kilometres of safe walking and cycling for the inhabitants of Milton Keynes.
So you mentioned how America is built on grid systems, but they don't have roundabouts, whereas Milton Keynes does have roundabouts. Did you know, Richie, that according to the well-established website and newspaper in the UK, Metro, the yes. roundabouts were only meant to be temporary?
In Milton Keynes?
Yeah, and they were meant to be replaced with traffic lights, like in the American grid system, but in a very English way, no one could be fucked.
That's a great piece of trivia. I didn't know that. And the reason roundabouts are such a British thing is because when they are used properly, and there's the key thing, right? When they are used properly, the roundabout is a great invention. All you need to do is look to the right. Is there something coming my way? And if there isn't, you can go, okay? That's the only rule of a roundabout. You give way to the right, okay? With traffic lights, suddenly you're looking at filters, you're looking at lights, you're looking at colours, you're looking at lanes. Roundabouts, you're just looking right, okay? And if you can go, go. It's as simple as that, okay? The Brits were famous worldwide for queuing, okay? Traffic lights at a junction just make it overly complicated, and that is why the roundabout won out in Milton Keynes.
I guess also in the zombie apocalypse, as we try to rebuild society after, there might not be functioning electricity everywhere, so traffic lights will be redundant and you could get problems at those junctions. But roundabouts rely on much simpler technology, so you can avoid zombies and get on with your life without the need of lights.
Absolutely. You're quite right. I don't like the inference that because roundabouts wouldn't fail during a power cut or a zombie apocalypse, that they are of a simpler technology. I think that makes them a far better thing and really underlines the point that I was making, that traffic lights make a junction far more complicated.
No, I mean, look, mate, I think simpler technology, don't underestimate it. Like, I take a lot more pleasure from a Rubik's Cube than a Tamagotchi, for example. You don't need the technology to be better.
Got a Rubik's Cube on the table here.
I've got one on the table here. Here's mine.
Here's mine.
I'm starting to think we've got a lot of bad things in common, Rich.
Did you know that Dr. Ernest Rubik, the inventor of the Rubik's Cube, is Polish?
No, I guess, I mean, it sounds plausible. It sounds like a name that I would place in that part of the world. Are you a fan of Poland?
Yeah. I'm just checking that we, I mean, equally, there might be a Hungarian listener that might want to give us a
hang
hack.
On a second, Rich. What have you done?
Well, I've got his name right. He is Ernest Rubik, but he's Hungarian.
Oh, God. Oh, Richie. You know what? Credit to you. At least you corrected yourself on your own show, as opposed to most times when you say something wrong, which is a barrage of Twitter abuse that I get tagged into in the week after a show goes out.
Ernest Rubik is Hungarian, and for those of you that don't have access to the internet right now, he looks like a mixture of Peter Capaldi and a young Tony Blackburn.
Wow. Handsome man.
There he is indeed.
So, Rich, tell me how we help the Sea of Gold.
He says, I believe, in his question to us, I want to visit all the roundabouts of Milton Keynes. What's the best way to do them? Because it's on a grid system, okay, and because there's only 130 of them, the easiest way to do it is just to do it as if you're doing it on a snakes and ladder board. Okay, so don't overcomplify it.
Overcomplify it.
Just go along the bottom, go straight. So straight across every roundabout, yeah. And then when you get to the edge of the city limits, double back on yourself and just go up the next grid.
No, it's not simple as, because how do you then avoid doubling up on some roads? Because it's grids, how do you...
You're not going to double up on the roads, are you? Think about it, all right? If Milton Keynes is built in a grid system, you've played Snakes and Ladders. Yeah. I know you have.
But snakes...
You go along that bottom line, and then when you get to the edge of Milton Keynes, double back on yourself, turn left. So you go up one.
Yeah.
Go up one. If you're American, you go up one block and then turn left again and then all the way back along. And you are not going to double up on a single roundabout.
Okay, I've got my Rubik's Cube in front of me here. This is very timely. Like, yeah. nine blocks on this year.
Yes.
So if you think, the block isn't actually the red way, is it? It's the black boundary on the outside of the coloured square. Yeah, that is the actual red way. So if you're going across the bottom ones here, and then you go up like in Snakes and Ladders and go across the top one, you've missed out three straight lines down.
So look at my Rubik's Cube, okay?
Yeah.
If you start here in this bottom corner, okay, you go along.
Yep.
Okay, go over the first roundabout there, go over the second roundabout, come here, turn up, okay? And then turn again and go along. You've not missed a single roundabout.
Yeah, but do you not want to use the whole redway system?
No, he just wanted to visit every single roundabout. You're trying to overcomplify this.
Okay, don't say that again. Please help me out here. Okay, I take your point. You're right. I think I was thinking that he wanted to do every roundabout and the whole redway system, but you're saying he can use some of the redway system to do every roundabout.
Correct. And I tell you what, let's overhack this. Christopher, you're an ardent cyclist. How fast, on average, bog standard, old Mother Hubbard, are you pedalling on a bike?
I think on a heavily roundabouted area like that, you might be doing 15 to 20k an hour.
15 to 20k an hour. There's 300 kilometres of Redway system. So 300.
But you're not doing the whole Redway system, remember? You told me that we're not doing the whole free Redway.
Divided by 15 is 20 hours?
Yeah, but we're not doing the whole Redway, Rich. We're only doing about half of it.
Okay, so it's 10 hours. 10 hours to cycle the entirety of Milton Keynes. There's your hack.
Thanks for your message, Sea of Gold. That was quite good, Rich. Well done.
Thank you.
You want another hack? We'll be back after this.
Okay, one hack down and many more to come. Christopher, what have we got next?
This is from Brian, and I'm going to start with his PS, if I may. PS postscript, is that what it stands for?
Certainly is, yes.
I listened to the season one finale again last week, and it was a lovely reminder of people meeting up for something so monumentally silly. Here's hoping for more nonsense in Stockholm.
Oh, Brian. So the season one finale was live in London.
At the Angel Comedy Club, the Bill Murray, which does need support from the public right now.
Correct. And hopefully we'll be back there for future live events. We rounded off season one with a live podcast reviewing all the hacks. Jemima, who you may or may not remember from season one.
Everyone will remember.
The arch nemesis to me, Richie Firth, travel hacker. She was there as well. It was a great night. I don't think it was pointless, but it was a great night.
He didn't say pointless. He said monumentally silly. That was your own internal monologue. More on Sweden coming up later in the show. Anyway, to Brian's proposed hack, Brian lives in Orange County, California. Is currently suffering due to the pandemic. He is going a little stir crazy, keeping his partner and himself safe by staying at home, and would like to plan an epic road trip for when COVID levels are safe to travel for fun again. He wants to travel from his home, and again, forgive my pronunciations here, in Mission Viejo to the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah to see the land speed record trials next August. The journey, he says, takes 10 and a half hours on the freeways, which is too much of a slog to cover in one day for a relaxing vacation. He would like to split the trip into 2 days, stop at some interesting places for meals, and drive on some fun curvy roads with some scenery along the way. How would you split the journey into 2 days? Cheers.
Well,
Brian,
you're correct. Curvy things are always more fun than straight.
Interesting.
Mission Viejo is a beautiful little place just south and east of Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Which is a hybrid.
Los
city.
Angeles just off the coast of the St. Pacific.
Punish yourself. Punish yourself. Mission Viejo to the Bonneville Salt Flats. Yeah, it is. It's 10 and a half hours by the freeways. Boring. He doesn't want to do that. Got a great route for him, actually, Chris.
Oh.
And I don't think you're going to disagree with anything that I'm about to suggest.
Unlikely, but carry on.
Brian, I would suggest that rather than go straight up through Death Valley and the temperatures that come with it, Death Valley being in the news recently for recording the highest temperature ever to be officially ratified on the planet Earth. Why would you want to choose willingly and knowingly to travel through Death Valley? You're going to want to avoid that. So that is why you're going to want to avoid the main road, which takes in the likes of Las Vegas and Death Valley. I am proposing that Brian travels up the Californian coastal road, therefore providing him with the views that he stipulated he wanted. And he goes via a couple of locations you may well have heard of. San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge. Alcatraz Island and the prison that comes with it. Wonderful tourist spots and some beautiful vistas as well. Then the city of Reno,
yep,
known as the biggest little city in the world, famous for its casino tourism industry. So what you're basically getting is you're getting Las Vegas, but without the hassle, all right? Las Vegas, without the shiftiness, without right, the you-know-what. You get everything that you're going to get with the Las Vegas experience, but without the hassle. It's 22 miles from Lake Tahoe, which is the largest freshwater lake in the Sierra Nevada. Only the five Great Lakes are bigger than Lake Tahoe. So remind me what Brian wanted. Brian wanted your curvy roads. He wanted your tourist route with some lovely views. He wanted all this and not to go on the freeways and the highways. There is your travel hack. And coming in at 14 hours travel, that's split into two, 7 hours a day with all those beautiful things to see, I thank you.
Rich, I actually think that's an excellent suggestion. I thought very similar to you about the only way I thought might be a bit different. He might be a bit familiar with San Francisco, living like not a million miles from there. So I wondered, I was going to suggest sort of cutting through like Fresno, Folsom, Reno, doing a bit of a Johnny Cash song tour. And then basically trying to stop in as many funny named places as he could, because there are a few. Eureka is one that I quite enjoyed. Jackpot is
what
another.
Old, this isn't another plug for your book, Knob Jockeys and Dangleberries, or whatever it's called, is it?
Yes, that's what it's called. No, it's not. But I do just like the idea of stopping at Shantytown, for example.
Is that a location?
Yeah, Shantytown is an unincorporated community in the Elko County, Nevada.
Fantastic.
So, but look, Rich, I think it's just north of Eureka, and not far from Duckwater.
I think if you arrive at Eureka, you'd have to say you've hit the spot, wouldn't you?
Indeed. That's very good, Richie. So yeah,
I've had a couple of gags tonight.
I have had a couple of gags too. good hack,
good hack,
Rich.
That. Thank you,
Rich. Do you want to do a little bit of feedback?
Always willing for feedback. Always willing for your fresh hacks. This would be a good time for me to remind you, if you've got a hack that you want Chris and I to attack, then it's travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to repeat that because you didn't know the address was coming. travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. That's where you need to get in touch with us. If you've got a fantasy journey that you want Chris and I to hack before we start hacking again actual journeys live and proving them to you in season three, so get in touch with those. But of course, feedback. If there's something that we could have done better, or you disagreed with, or you just want to praise us or agree with something, or defend me from the ludicrous and sometimes obstructive mood of Christopher Skinner, travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com.
look, Rich, I have absolutely no qualms in saying tonight you are smashing it. You're two
Thank
for
you.
Two tonight. You're absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
I give praise where praise is due.
Right.
Hello from Andrew. In response to the Swedish summer hike, Chris, you owe Richie an apology.
Oh, this is my favourite episode.
It is 100% doable without taking any extra sick days, as in Sweden it is required for everyone to take 3 to 4 weeks continuously in the summer, defined as June, July and August. Thus, you can easily do the hike for the first 2 weeks of your vacation, then take another two to recover or enjoy some great beers or lagers where you end up. Yeah, that's it. Walk for 2 weeks and then get drunk for 2 weeks. So please do give Richie more credit for his travel hacks. Looking forward to Hackfest. I would gladly spend 226 kroner plus 120 kroner extra for good beer as well.
Who's that from again?
That's Andrew.
Andrew, we are looking forward to seeing you at Hackfest at a venue and date in Stockholm, soon to be decided. Couple of questions, Christopher. Where are the finances looking on this as we begin to drill down a little bit more into the pound versus krona exchange rate? And secondly, what are the current travel restrictions between England and Sweden as we look towards Hackstock?
These are very good questions, and you ask at a very important time, actually, also because it avoids me having to apologise to you. So simple answers to both those questions. We don't have much money. In fact, hopefully...
How can we not have much money? We're seven episodes into the second season.
I mean, to be fair, we haven't had our August statement yet.
Okay.
How many premium ad reads have you done? I mean, you've already told our biggest lead to go fuck themselves. Flavorly haven't got in touch despite all the free plugs. I mean, they haven't even said, thanks, guys, we're not even going to sponsor you, but here's some free beer.
Okay.
We seem to be, I don't want to say toxic, but no one wants to associate themselves with us.
I put it more positively. I would say that we're not yet reaping the rewards that we deserve.
True. And the follow-up question is, no, we can't go to Sweden yet.
Is that due to the R number or the budget?
I mean, it's both, to be fair.
Oh.
But Rich...
Really? They got a... Right, okay.
We'll make the money from the ticket sales when we get there. We've just got to believe.
Okay, so we... All right, I see. Build it and they will come. I can subscribe to that. Also, by no coincidence, here's an advert. Okay, in season two of Richie Firth Fantasy Travel Hacker, because we can't actually get out and prove to you our hacks, we're getting the fantasy hacks from you and from celebrities. It's time for another
celebrity hack. Celebrity hack. Celebrity hack. Celebrity hack. Celebrity.
Here is comedian Josh Gondelman. Hello, Josh. Let us hack for you.
Hi, travel hackers. This is Josh Gondelman. I'm a comedian and the host of the podcast Make My Day. This is a question for Chris and Richie. I was wondering, I live in New York City, and I was supposed to do a backpacking trip throughout Europe this summer, and that's not allowed now. And I was wondering if you had any tips for breaking the travel embargo and traveling throughout Europe with a backpack during the pandemic.
Oh, Josh.
Okay, well, there's some sentiments in there that... Travel Hacker PLC can't really agree on, but
Josh's suggestion, can you help me break the law, has I can see you twitching.
Well, I've been consistent in my my views on law breaking through every episode of this particular podcast. However, it's Fantasy Travel Hacker, so in your fantasies, in your fantasies, you're allowed to break the law.
Don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ASMR me.
I'm going to talk directly to the listener right now. I'm sure many of you, in your dreams and in your fantasies, have broken many laws.
No.
Richie, I've been a bad boy. I've got a permit to travel and never paid my fare.
Chris, come and forcefully bust the barrier with me.
I tried to buy a travel card in anally.
So look, whether you've anally used a travel card before or you want to do something completely different with yours, let's go with Josh's hack. Okay, so Josh wants to backpack around Europe, breaking and flouting the travel ban. Well, Christopher, I found a way for him to do this. Have you?
I've got a suggestion. Really simple idea. America, it's a continent, really, in its own right, isn't it? And so, Josh, I don't think you should leave the United States. I know you. You're a nice man. You're not the kind of person who I can see trying to break laws and do a reverse Farage, as I believe it's called. So you're the kind of guy who I think could benefit by discovering the parts of America that are like Europe.
Okay.
Bits of America are just the same as Europe. According, for example, to afar.com, which has a link to the seven most European places in the United States. You could go to Solvang, California, built by Danish people. The high street looks Danish. It's also in California. Boston, Massachusetts, probably because there's a lot of Irish people there, is apparently one. New Orleans, Louisiana, is like, well, that's quite French, I'm guessing. Fredericksburg, Texas, was built to by Germans and has German architecture, apparently. It doesn't look like it to me, but let's go with it. San Francisco is very liberal, so I guess that's Amsterdam or Paris. Venice, California, has got the word Venice in it, and it has at least one river or canal. Calistoga, California, that I'm guessing that sounds Spanish. Nope, it says it's Tuscany. I should have done some research. And finally, a link to another article and an advert for indoor and outdoor saunas.
Okay, well, the journey that you have just come up with there, let's have a look. How long's that going to take? Because whilst you were spouting off all of those,
four of them are in California, aren't they?
It looks to me like that is 108 hours of driving, 7,292 miles worth of hitchhiking. He said he wanted to, go backpacking. Yeah. Well, that's quite some trip.
Yeah, maybe that's too much.
I love it. I love it. And we've actually got a route there from Boston right down to New Orleans, then Fredericksburg, then along to Venice Beach and Solvang and San Francisco, and then right back along to Boston. Actually, to be honest, you wouldn't have to go back along to Boston, would you? So I think you've come up with a great little idea for him. But the thing is, Chris, all right, the thing is, Josh wanted to be in Europe.
Yes.
Okay. So you can fly and leave the United States and come over to Europe. There are European countries that will take you. Now, obviously, if you can then buy into the fact that you're going to have to quarantine for a short period of time over here, 2 weeks, you know, that's fine. Okay. Then if you can think to yourself, right, that's when my holiday starts, there is a way of doing this. How do you do it? What you do is you do it by hot air balloon.
Pardon?
You do it by hot air balloon, okay? So imagine Josh arrives. Let's say Josh flies to Paris, okay? New York to Paris.
Richie, I don't want to get in the way of a good hack here. I think there are some European countries that you can travel to, like Ukraine and Kosovo, Croatia, maybe. But I don't believe you can currently travel to the EU.
Then he needs to fly to Croatia. If he can fly to Croatia, you know, New York to Split, okay? 10 hours, 30 minutes, £1,000.
Great. I mean, right. Split okay. Is fantastic.
We're back on. So when you get to Split, then you can start your backpacking holiday, right? So let's zoom in on my map on Croatia. Okay. Where do you want to go, Chris? Where do you want... So you've got options. You're in Croatia. Do you want to leave north through Slovenia and head to Italy? Or do you want to... I'd suggest that might be a bit easier than getting into Montenegro.
Yeah, Lake Bled, I'm sure, would be beautiful to visit at this time of year.
Okay, so let's go north, all right? So we go north from Split to the north of Croatia, taking a bit of Zagreb, doing the old hitchhiking, doing the old normal experience, and then you're getting towards the border. This is where you would then need to get out your hot air balloon, because your hot air balloon is what is going to get you over the border, all right?
Wow.
Avoiding all the border checks.
This is an old school British family comedy movie. That still gets shown at 2 p.m. on Channel 5.
Avoiding the faff of having to quarantine and all that kind of thing, okay? Now, let me tell you a little bit about hot air ballooning flights. It's absolutely perfect for it. The average hot air balloon flight generally lasts around about an hour. Okay, that's all you get for your canister of gas that's going to get your balloon up and your balloon down. Your average wind speed of around about 5 miles an hour means a balloon in one flight will fly between 2 to 8 miles. Okay, so when you're getting over a border, 2 to 8 miles, that's really all you need. Okay, a border, really, you know, a border isn't 2 miles. So you get up, you go over, you're down, fold it all up again, put it back in the basket, off you go. You're back into a new country and no one knows you've arrived.
Wow, your idea is that you steal a hot air balloon and travel around Europe with the hot air balloon, buying gas and inflating it whenever you get near a border, travelling over the border, probably breaking multiple international laws, and as long as you have a backpack, it's a legitimate hack. Is that what you're saying?
I never said that we were stealing the hot air balloon. I did say we were going to break some laws, okay?
So you're buying a hot air balloon
already. You're buying the hot air balloon. You might even buy that in New York and bring it over in your luggage when you land in Split. So you're buying the hot air balloon. That is your investment. Look, when you go backpacking, you're going to buy a really good backpack, okay? Or you're going to buy an interrailing ticket. This time, your outlay is a hot air balloon, okay?
£80,000 to £250,000.
No, a hot air balloon flight, one hot air balloon costs $22,000. And then each flight varies between £100 and £150 in gas, which I would imagine you can pick up from your camping shops.
Sure. I'm sure there's absolutely no risk from just gung-ho guessing that you can use camping gas in a hot air balloon. Nothing could go wrong there.
Do you know what? If you do it on a really, really windy day, you might even be able to go straight from Split over the Adriatic Sea and land in Italy.
This is, Richie, this is the worst hack ever. You're asking Josh to fly all the way from New York to Split to blow himself up somewhere over the Adriatic Sea with some camping gas. You've been doing so well.
Oh dear. I think that's a really good hack.
No, let's just jump off this balloon now.
If you have a hack for us that you want hacking, I am going to optimistically give you the email address one more time. If you want to get in touch with us, it's travelhackerpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Richie Firth or at Producer Chris. If there is a hack that you want hacking, we are your men. We will see you for the next episode, either in a week's time or it's just going to roll on through if you're binging this podcast. Thank you very much. For now, thanks for joining us. Good night and...
Come fly with me. Come fly. Let's fly. Away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.